I suspect many of you have shared this experience with me. You've gone off to a parade or a rally or a sporting event, and there's been a huge crowd, and you wished you had a better seat. You wished you were closer to the front so you could better see what was going on. For most of the 1990s, I lived in Boston, and every April, the marathon would take place. Now, you wouldn't know this from looking at my sleek, svelte physique today, but I used to be a pretty serious runner. And so I always enjoyed watching the marathon. And I was often able to stake out a pretty good place along the route. But what I always wanted to see was the big finish. And yes, I could watch it on television, but that just wasn't the same as being there. Well, one Sunday, I was talking with Jim Crawford, the senior minister at Old South Church in Boston, where I worshiped. And Jim and I had gotten to know each other pretty well over the years. But we had one of those moments when we discovered that despite all the things we talked about, there were some things we'd never discussed. And my interest in running and the marathon had never come up between us. And so Jim said, "Why don't you come over to my office and we can watch the end of the marathon together?" Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Old South Church, it is located at the corner of Dartmouth and Boylston Streets, right at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And Jim's study was on the third floor of the parish house. There was no better place to watch the end of this race than Jim's office. We were able to open the windows, stick our heads out, enjoy the roar of the crowd, and yet nobody shoved us, nobody jostled us, nobody asked to see if we had tickets to sit in the good seats. It was a blast. Recalling this story and the fun I had that day, the excitement I felt, offers an inkling to me of the rush that Zacchaeus must have felt up in that tree. Now, Zacchaeus is one of those characters in Scripture who's made to come alive. This is a gem of a story, and Luke here shows his power as a master of narrative art. The details, the humor, come forth. It's easy to imagine what Zacchaeus looked like. This little man with his fancy robes. I imagine if a movie were being made, Danny DeVito would be cast in the role. Somebody comic. Somebody we're not supposed to take seriously. But something caught his attention that day. Something drew Zacchaeus to come out to see the crowd moving into Jericho. The crowd was big. This was Jesus' last stop before he entered Jerusalem. So by now he had huge crowds following him. So imagine short little Zacchaeus stepping up on his toes, craning to see what's going on, getting up on his tippy toes. He was straining to see what was going on. He was being shoved and pushed. He was a tax collector. People were probably throwing an extra elbow. He couldn't see anything. But then he saw the sycamore tree, and he decided that he would climb it. Now, when most of us think of trees and climbing, we think of kids and happy times. A Although if we're the parents of small children, or have been the parents of small children, we probably also think of injuries. But Zacchaeus wasn't thinking of those things. Zacchaeus wasn't thinking about the hit his pride and dignity might take that day. Imagine somebody wearing their best clothes, somebody in a position of authority, scrambling up a tree. It probably didn't look pretty. But Zacchaeus didn't care. The only thing that mattered to him that day was his curiosity. And while the old saying has it that curiosity killed the cat, in this instance, curiosity would prove to be the salvation of that cat. Zacchaeus got up into that tree and everything changed. No longer was he trying to see over somebody's head or shoulders. No longer was he being pushed and shoved. From that perch on the branch, he had a view of everything that was going on. And he was able to see Jesus. Mission accomplished. He must have been excited. But then imagine his excitement when Jesus looked at him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree because I'm coming to your house." He must have been overwhelmed. This was just too good to be true. So he scrambled down and he went up to Jesus. And what was the response of that crowd? They grumbled. Now we know that in the Gospels, especially in Luke, when people start grumbling, Jesus usually offers a parable. He senses a teaching moment. But something different happens here, because Zacchaeus offers the teaching moment. I mentioned before that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, the Roman Empire didn't have an internal revenue service staffed by civil servants who received a set salary, who were held accountable to standards. They had people who paid for the right to be tax collectors. They agreed to forward revenue to Rome, and anything they collected above and beyond, they got to keep. And there were some places where it would be good to be a tax collector, and other places where it wouldn't be as good. Jericho was one of the good places. When we hear Jericho, we might think of Joshua and the people of Israel marching around the city. But in Jesus' day, Jericho was a wealthy, prosperous city. The Herodians had built a palace there and a hippodrome and fine gardens. It had a thriving balsam industry. And it was the place where trade from the East and from Arabia came through before being sent west. It was a place where tariffs were collected and tolls were imposed. And the tax collector got a cut of every single transaction. The chief tax collector, which was Zacchaeus' role, did even better because he got a cut from each of the tax collectors. Zacchaeus was rolling in dough. It's not surprising that his fellow citizens resented him. He was collaborating with the Romans. He was shaking them down. He could get away with anything. He was the last person in town that Jesus should have wanted to dine with. But we know Jesus, upturning those social conventions, doing the unexpected. We don't know how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, but it's reasonable to assume that as the crowd was moving into Jericho, he saw Zacchaeus climb a tree and would have turned to one of the locals and said, "Who is that guy?" And the response would have been something like, "Oh, that's Zacchaeus. He's that lousy, rotten, cheating tax collector." Now, to the vast majority of us, that would have been the signal to stay away, to cut him a wide berth. We don't want to deal with him. But to Jesus, that's the sign that this is the guy he needs to talk to. Who you had dinner with was important in that day and age when everybody knew everybody else's business. And Zacchaeus recognized something remarkable going on here, because his immediate response to Jesus is to announce that he's going to give half of everything he has to the poor and make fourfold restitution to all those he might have defrauded. Jesus didn't ask him to do these things. Jesus said nothing at first. This was all Zacchaeus is doing. For all we know, by the time Zacchaeus was done writing those checks, he could have been broke. It didn't matter to him. That moment when Jesus said in public, "I am having dinner with you," he was saying, "You are not an outcast." He was saying, "I do not care that you are a sinner. You are beloved of God." And Zacchaeus, in his joy, responds by sharing his good fortune with others. Receiving joy, he chooses to give joy. This passage is about extravagant giving, but it's a kind of giving that we can easily misunderstand. This is not some stewardship passage. And the message here is not meant to convey that if you give a lot of money to the church, you will be saved. We had a Reformation to address that misunderstanding. We can't buy our way into God's good graces. We can't pray our way into love. We can't work our way into salvation. Zacchaeus may have been extravagant in his giving, but his extravagance is nothing compared with the extravagance of God. A God who comes looking for us, just as he came looking for Zacchaeus. It matters not who we are or what we have done. God is always ready to embrace us. God is always ready to shower us with his love. Jesus recognized that something had transformed Zacchaeus at that moment. And so he declared publicly that salvation this day has come to this man's house. That Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, not an outsider, not an outcast, but an insider. And in saying so, Jesus says we are all insiders. That nothing from God's perspective will separate us from God's love. Zacchaeus chose that day to take a risk, to climb a tree. And in doing so, his life was changed. He gained a new perspective. So this day, I ask each of you to ponder this question, the question that I too will ponder. Where is the tree that beckons to us? Where is the tree we want to climb, but find ourselves too distracted, too fearful, too anxious, too worried, too concerned about what others think to climb? Where is that tree? And how can we follow the example of Zacchaeus to set aside those fears, those concerns, those worries, those anxieties, so that we can climb a tree? And in doing so, change our world and open ourselves to everything that can happen when we enter into a relationship with God. Please join me in prayer. Holy God,